Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Robert Sinn, also known as Goldfinger, to all of you and to a lot of those that read over the especially metals blogs around the web or around the internet here. Now, Robert has been joining us on a regular basis. I also posted a kind of summary of what Robert sends out to his subscribers at the tail end of last week because I thought it really summed up where the metals stood, and also included a little video that Robert put together going through some of the charts. Robert, I want to start with the gold price because gold's getting off to a good start this week. We're up about 20-something dollars, almost a percent and a half on the spot market, and more importantly, gold's back over 1,800. It's been a pretty wild ride. In the last about 2 to 3 weeks, gold was at about 1,835, dropped the whole way down to 1,675, and is now back over 1,800. Robert, what do you take away from this, quite frankly, high volatility and now fairly decent rebound for gold?
Hey, Corey and Shad. Yeah, it's great to be here. Happy Monday. Wow, what a few weeks it's been. Gold and silver sectors, gold with that huge drop a couple Sunday nights ago down to, I think the actual futures low on the main contract was 1677. That was a very brief flush that didn't even last for an hour, with gold under 1700 there for just like a few minutes. And we've rebounded all the way back over 1800. That was something that we were joking about, I think, in the last conversation we had. 2 weeks ago, we kind of joked like it'd be kind of, you know, ironic if gold just went right back to 1800 where it had been basically stagnating there for weeks, over the summer. And here we are, we're back to almost 1810 this morning, just sort of a round trip. And that's something that I've learned being a trader and investor in the gold and silver markets over the last few decades is that these markets, the futures markets, and gold especially, have this uncanny ability to run through stop levels. So both, on the downside and the upside, the market tends to find a way to inflict the maximum amount of pain and find these stop loss levels in the market. And so I think that's what we saw a couple Sunday nights ago. Some stops got triggered under 1750 and then more got triggered under 1700. And we just had a complete flush of the market. And the way to inflict maximum pain would be to just come right back to where we were, like nothing happened, except a lot happened and a lot of people lost a lot of, you know, money during that drop because they were forced to sell basically at the Sunday night lows. And so here we are, we're back to 1807.50 and people talking about, you know, Fed Chair Powell's speech on Friday morning at Jackson Hole is going to be dovish. So that puts some tailwinds into the gold price.
Well, Robert, you know, just based on the support and resistance levels, a lot of technicians that we talk to are looking for that 1673 to 1677, those March double bottoms that were retested during that washout to hold. But they're also looking at overhead resistance around the 1830, 1840 area. Are you looking at any specific levels to confirm that, or any chart indicators or anything technically that would indicate, hey, this breakout may have legs on it? Or is this just another false move up on the roller coaster ride with the precious metals where we may still be going lower for longer? What are you looking at medium term here?
Well, I mean, in the gold chart specifically, that flush down to 1677 does look like a pretty firm bottom. The MACD has crossed positive on the daily chart, and the relative strength index is now moving back above the 50 mark on the daily chart as well. So that's pretty good confirmation that this is a pretty strong rally. And you're right. I mean, there's a lot of confluence. The price level's just overhead. So, you definitely around 1835 to 1840, you know, should see the rally pause at the very least. But I think that we could test up to those, you know, to that area in the next week or so. But then we'll have to see, you know, because 1840 is obviously a big level that stopped gold in its tracks a few times, you know, already in the past couple months. But honestly, if I had to just take a look at the price action of the last couple of weeks, I would say it's probably the most optimistic series of events possible. We had a complete washout of the market. Sellers got sold basically at the lows on Sunday night, sub 1700, very sharp, you know, rebound of over $100 an ounce. And then gold, you know, consolidated basically for much of last week between 1780 and 1800. So that's sort of a high and tight flag formation there in the last week. And now here we are following through on the upside. So when you see this sort of price action against the backdrop of extreme bearish sentiment, with the daily sentiment index for gold dropping to single digits 2 weeks ago, and now it's still on the lower side. Obviously, it's improved a bit, you know, with price, but this is the sort of thing that bottoms are made of, where sentiment is extremely weak, people are very pessimistic, people are afraid to buy at the lower prices, and then we see price move up, and people are still afraid to buy, or they're skeptical that, oh, it's just another trap rally, you know, it's not going to last, right?
So, Robert, look, the gold price is really at this range now where it has rebounded nicely. As you have outlined, one of the lagging factors, at least last week when gold was consolidating, was that the shares were continuing to drift lower. Whether you look at GDX or GDXJ, they were fading off throughout the week and actually ended the week pretty poorly. They're bouncing back today to a greater degree than gold, so that is encouraging. But you look at the chart for something like GDX here, and even after today, or at least right now, it's putting in a gap in the chart that might need to be filled. So that's back down in that 31 region. There's still another gap above current price, right around 33, 34, that needs to be filled. But again, the stocks have vastly underperformed the precious metals. What do you take away from that? Are you one that says the stocks do like to lead price, and boy, oh boy, they have underperformed recently?
I mean, yeah, it's a good question, Corey. Obviously, I don't know the future, but if I had to bet, you know, on odds, you know, as a gambler, I would bet that the sectors is washed out to the downside. We've had a sentiment washout in the last couple of weeks, and I can't even explain some of the selling that we saw last week in the gold mining sector. There's no point in trying to explain it. I mean, I think it's just a matter of people are giving up on the sector. It's had a very bad year to date, and people just see other sectors doing much better. So they say, you know what, I just want out. I'm going to put my money in something that's been doing well. And that's usually what bottoms are made of. If I look at the fundamentals in the gold mining sector, they're generally quite strong. However, you know, we will say that mining is a cost intensive, you know, sort of industry with large labor input costs, and also, you know, uses a lot of oil and forms of energy. And so those costs have gone up. So maybe the inflation that we've seen seep through the economy is also going to bite into gold miner margins, you know, for sure. But still, even, you know, with accounting for some cost inflation on the labor side and the energy side, still the sector is pretty damn profitable at 1780 or low 1800 gold. And in my mind, just sort of analyzing the sector, it seems to me that most of these gold miner share prices are priced for 1600 gold. Some are even priced for lower than that. So it seems like the sector is bracing for negative news in the future. I think that the share price has got it way ahead of the taper. They've more than factored in a taper from the Fed coming sooner than later. And so if that does get pushed back into 2000, you know, into January or past January, I think there's room for upside here, as the sector is pretty oversold here.
Yeah, Robert, it's interesting that it seems like a lot of the miners still didn't even embrace, especially even some of the producers of both gold and silver, didn't embrace the higher metals prices when they were there, and they are waiting for that other shoe to drop. And so you brought up the taper and you brought up inflation with all eyes on the Fed this week with Jackson Hole and with the September meeting right around the corner for the Fed. You know, what do you think would happen if the Fed was to really not give any indication that they're going to start tapering as soon as people thought, and if they do push it back, what do you think that would do to the mining shares and to the, you know, markets in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty, you know, simple equation right here. I think that a faster than expected taper is going to be bearish for gold, going to be bearish for mining stocks in general. It'll be bearish for the stock market in general. So the longer the Fed extends the possibility of the start of a taper, the better it is for mining shares, you know, generally speaking. I think that in the, you know, in the oil stocks and the copper miners, we were seeing some pretty strong levels of fear last week. I mean, some of these sectors and stocks were really getting hit hard. And clearly some bank analysts were pulling forward the taper. Suddenly something happened over the weekend. I can't really put my finger on it, but it could be the fact that the COVID variant, you know, spread is becoming a problem. Some of the, you know, data we've seen in the last week has, you know, indicated that the economy is slowing a bit, that you know, we probably peaked like in June, and some of the, you know, data is starting to really roll over. So I think, you know, and I put out a blog post Friday morning about sort of like this dream I had about this imaginary conversation, you know, that Powell had, you know, with one of his Fed governors. And basically, I think the Fed has been floating the possibility of a taper just to see how the market would, you know, respond to it. But now they're going to pull that back a bit. And I think that's what Powell's going to use his Jackson Hole speech on Friday morning. It's going to be sort of like an acceptance speech in some ways from him for another term as Fed chairman. And I really don't think he's going to want to say anything that will roll financial markets or the economy, you know, and I think he's just going to say, we're not there yet, guys. But when we are closer to our objective, or we're there, we will taper. But let's wait a bit. It's not going to happen just yet.
Yeah, all eyes are going to be on the Fed. Well, Jerome Powell this week at Jackson Hole. And look, those minutes did outline that the Fed is talking more about tapering. But we all know how slow the Fed can be in terms of moving more hawkishly. Robert, it's always great chatting with you, buddy. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. Thank you, as always, for all your insights. And guys, remember, click that link below, and that's where you can follow along with a lot of Robert's recent articles. Robert, thanks as always for your time, buddy. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks a lot.